Blog Talk Radio.
There's a direct relationship between having the businesses and being in prison. Go find an see how many Asians you can find in American prisons. You ain't gonna be in there. But 51% of your prison will be black because blacks don't have any businesses and industries. There's a direct link. Blacks won't practice group economics. Blacks won't practice group politics. If you don't practice, you're setting yourself up. I told that five-story building, you're setting yourself to get wiped out. Understand the nature of race, which is economics. If you build the first floor, it's economic. Build your businesses and your industries. Control business and industry, and put that pulls in your money, and hold that money, and practice group economics with it. Arab and Asian money bounces 12 to 13 times for a lead. Jewish money bounces 18 times. Black folk got to learn how to practice group economics. Black Americans spend every penny they get outside their own community. Then you take the money and the wealth that you get from that first floor and go to the second floor. The second floor is politics. You then take that money on the first floor and you control your politics. Black folk must quit allowing people to tell them to go out and vote. Vote for what? Nobody's going to do anything for black folk in politics. Politics is controlled by money. Major corporations who got the money. That's what controls politics. If you have no money, you have no say-so, you have no benefits coming. So you take your money and you control and you take your money on the first floor, you buy every politician on the second floor. And any politician you can't buy, you rent or lease them to get what you need. Then once you get the second floor under control with the politician, with your money, then you go to the third floor. The third floor then is the police department and the court system. You take your money from the first floor and your politics on the second floor and you control the court system and the police department. Then the fourth floor, then is media. You then take the money that you generate off the first floor from business and industries and you go after radio stations, TV stations, newspapers, and cable systems so that you can now inform and communicate with your own people. Right now, black folk own and control less than 35,000ths of 1% of the media in the United States. Out of 12,000 radio stations, black folk own about 75 or 80. That's all. You own no cable systems. You don't have a daily newspaper. You have nothing of importance. You got about one black TV station. So you can't communicate with your people. You can't inform your people. You can't do anything. You can have Rush Limbaugh and all the rest of the guys talking about racism all day long and bad-mouthing you. And O'Reilly. They can call black folk all kind of names all day long. What are you going to do? You can't respond. You can't even communicate with your own people because you don't have an economic base. 51% of all the prisons in the United States are black people. You only make up 12% of the population. That's no accident. It's because you don't control the economics and the politics. And they're going to go after the weakest people they can get their hands on to incarcerate them. That's the black folk. And what are you going to do in response to them when they over-incarcerate you? You're going to go out and have a march, a demonstration. We're going to march. March, boy, who cares? March has never changed anything.
All right, since it's been up in the air lately and on the news and trending topics and some people are trying to include it in the presidential election issues. Reparations. That's what we're going to talk about today, briefly. Today's podcast is titled Reparations Literacy and Who Pays Reparations? 619-768-2945. Now, to avoid an emotional dialogue here, I'm going online, and I want you to do it too if you have access. Definition of reparations. Let's start there. Let's try to see if we can get on the same page here. All right. Now, the definition of reparations that I'm reading. You know what? Let me go to Merriam-Webster. Okay, let's go to Merriam-Webster. Okay. Definition of reparations. The first definition is a repairing or keeping in repair. Oh, wait a minute. Make sure my mic is open. Yeah, my mic is open. Okay. Definition two, the act of making amends, offering reparation, and giving satisfaction for a wrong or injury. Okay, something done or given as amends or satisfaction. Definition 3, payment of damages. Okay, so those are three basic definitions of reparations. Now here's, along with the last one, payment of damages, compensation in money or materials payable by a defeated nation for damages to the expenditures sustained by another nation as a result of hostilities with the defeated nation. That could cause a problem, that last definition here. Some of you that are claiming reparations, first thing you got to prove is what nation that you came from, specifically. And then the next thing is that nation, let's just pull one out of there in West Africa. Ghana, Nigeria, Senegal, Gambia, name, let's pick anyone you want. Okay, so you would have to, number one, prove where you came from, number one. Which nation? Because, see, in 2019, the nation that you might attempt to identify with politically might not have Nigeria had probably had a different name 250 years ago, or 200 years ago, whenever it was. Same as Ghana, Gambia, Senegal. Hurdle number one, that's a big one. Okay. But anyway, so there are three definitions of reparation that I took out of Merriam-Webster Dictionary. All right, I figure that's fair. Let's go to something neutral. Let's not get emotional about it. We need to start with a definition. All right. Now, let's like I say, that's the third definition. So we're dealing with a nation. So that's a serious hurdle right there. So whoever you are, if you think you deserve reparations, you first have to partner up with a nation that's going to recognize you as one of them. And did that nation exist? Now, prior to, because a lot of people are trying to get reparations out of the United States government. First thing, the United States government was never in the slavery business. And then number two, prior to July 4th, 1776, the United States didn't even exist. What we call now the North America, the continental United States, that landmass existed, but politically, the United States did not exist. That's your next hurdle. According to, I didn't make up these definitions. That's why I went to something neutral here. Online, if you found another dictionary, let us know. All right, now, let's look at the second definition of reparations. The act of making amends, offering, or giving satisfaction to a wrong or injury. Well, it's 2019. Can you prove in a court of law that you have been injured by somebody or some institution over 150, 200 years ago? That's the third hurdle. At least that's the way LA sees it. I'm just one person. Okay. And that's why we call today's podcast reparations literacy, and who pays it. So let's say Nigeria jumped on the bandwagon and said we were injured but did the nation of Nigeria as we know it today politically, did it exist? Matter of fact, let's go to the books right now. That's why I love the internet here. When was when was the nation of Nigeria formed or established? Right, let's see what the internet says here. Okay. Well, history of Nigeria. Well, let's get to it. Let's see. Now, they can go all the way back to prehistoric times. That's the next hurdle, people. But let's see. The Nigeria first became a republic in 1963. Well, if you were jumping on a Nigerian bandwagon, based on the definition, Merriam-Webster's, the white man's dictionary, you're shit out of luck. There wasn't any slavery over here in 1963. Once again, read it for yourself. Nigeria first became a republic in 1963. Now, there are two things you're going to have to get. I mean, it seems logical to me. If you're serious about reparations, we're talking about you, whoever you are on an individual basis, you're going to have to hire a reparations attorney, somebody who specializes in reparations. And then here's who you're going to have to hire ahead of the attorney, the reparations attorney. You're going to have to hire a reparations investigator. Because in 1963, because most of the people that are talking about reparations are talking about way prior to 1963. Okay, you know what? Well, let's go to another country. Okay. Doesn't seem like Nigeria's working for us this morning. So let's go to Ghana. When was the nation of Ghana formed? All right. History of Ghana. Okay, the history of Ghana Republic of Ghana, what's pre-colonial, Ashanti, slave trade. Let's see. Gold Coast. Let's see. Let me get a date for you. Oh, right. That's Nigeria. History of Ghana. Okay. All right. They declared. Ghana declared independence on September 18th. Oh, wait a minute. 1956, the British set March 6, 1957. All right, we got the two dates here. All right, some of us listening to this podcast is older than Ghana. But we can go all the way back to 300 A.D. That's another hurdle. You got to decide on dates. And then that country, according to, let me go back to Merriam-Webster. This is not L.A. The payment of damages, compensation for money or materials payable by a defeated nation. Well, was Nigeria, Ghana, was any African nation, has any, now I don't know this, I'm asking this question because I don't know. I'm asking help from you guys. Has any African nation been in war, been in a war with the United States government? That's the question. Because according to this definition, now, because a lot of people talk, well, the Japanese, well, the United States and Japan, those were two nations that were at war with each other. And through the Civil Liberties Act of 1988, Japanese Americans got reparations. But the operative here is Japan and the United States were two nations that were at war. Now, I'm asking the question because I do not, and sincerely don't know. Has there been an African nation at war with the United States of America, starting from the date of July 4th, 1776? That's the question. If there has not been any war between any African nation and the United States, the reparations question is off the table as far as nations, the nations go. Let's go to the phone lines here. 314, your mic is open.
How you doing, L.A.?
I'm doing well. And I continue. Hopefully continue.
You know, you know,
not mine, Merriam-Webster. Merriam-Webster's dictionary.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The one that you read, really technically you can't use that. You'd have to go to a Black's Law dictionary.
Black Law Dictionary, okay.
Right.
And
I'll
go to that.
I don't even know if it's in there. But you know why? Because legalese definition of words is different than it is in general population.
That's true.
And another thing, the word does not appear any place, of course, in the United States Constitution. Slavery doesn't either. Yes, it does. Now, then you ask the question, who would pay? And there's two ways in which you can apply, run that reparation route. One is in the courts, and the other is politically. And it has ran its courses in the court. Most recently, in 2006, December, from a ruling coming out of the appellate court in Chicago, where it was dismissed, Judge Posner's court, P-O-S-N-E-R.
Mm-hmm.
Then those people was trying to sue corporations and railroads, insurance companies, railroads, and that didn't go anyplace. And one of the things that the judge asked several things. Who of the slaves gave the people today the authority to adjudicate for them? Now keep that in mind. Who of the slaves then gave the people the authority today to adjudicate for them? And it asked another question, basically, is how did you know that you can't show that people was, if you sue them for damages, that means money. And you can't show where these entities profited from slavery. Another
right.
point, the United States government didn't profit from slavery. How would they? monetarily. And if you know, it's just like you. If you sue people that were staying in your house, you're going to sue them for money because they didn't pay, they stayed in a period of time when they should have been paying rent. So it's a monetary damage.
You know what? You can sue for that. You can.
All right. So.
Small claims court, usually.
Yeah, absolutely. Then if it gets beyond a certain price, you go civil against them.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Then who are you going to sue? And see, the thing that another thing that always come up is not to come up, but the person that they blame is always white. But
typically,
blacks were slaveholders too. And it wasn't no
correct.
Food. And we know the records show, the U.S. Census show, court records show, especially in your urban areas, the typical slaveholder was a female, and she was mulatto, about to the tune, as reported, about 83%. And you know, it's funny how some scholars or some authorship that makes reference to this, like Carter G. Woodson, people want to diss him on that, but they want to refer to his book, The Miseducation of the Negro. Oh, you should read that book. Read that book. But in another area, he talks about these black slaveholders. And then when the discussion is held today, like it wasn't last Wednesday, or the Wednesday they had the committee here, they had a white woman there who was representing the Wolf, WLF family, who apparently owned slaves. And she, but where's the black people?
Mm-hmm.
All right, then you talking about who you going to sue also. Well, you ain't nothing got nothing to do with African countries. Because, like you said, you had all sorts of things going on. Slavery was not illegal. And
no, it was perfectly legal, and it was private enterprise.
Yes. I mean, if you go up to the Barbary Coast, up around the Straits of Gibraltar, and that was one of the reasons why come the United States Navy formed, in order to protect U.S. merchant ships selling in that area, you had reportedly over a million whites that were slaves.
That's absolutely right.
See,
that's all documented.
Then, yes, then if you're talking about Africa again, then you talk about the wars and fights that was going on in between those tribes because they were not the same. So here's another thing. People talk about indentured servitude, and then you can marry into the family. Well, all Africans was not the same because you had, if you got today, you can recognize 1,100 different languages. Well, is that not 1,100 different groups? So they were not the same. So if you was made a indentured servant when you was working for one family, well, if you went to war against another family and you was captured, they ain't going to let you get into their family. You done them harm. So this stuff
right.
about indentured servitude in Africa, and it wasn't no slavery, is just totally ridiculous because there was slavery on that continent. Now, what degree it was, that's a whole different story. And also, and I know for a fact, based on the records, that one group in Ghana with the Ewe, when time come for them to choose another chief of the stool, Ewe has a stool too. Stool is a symbolic thing that represent a group, like the golden stool of Ashanti, for instance. Well, when the time came to choose a chief, you had two factions that was arguing and began to fight. And when all the dust was clear, one, the victorious had accumulated about 400 of the others that they was fighting against. When I say fighting, it was killing, pillaging, burning. Now, if they didn't kill them, they gave them, they tried to compensate, receive restitution from the pay for the damages that you done. So what they done, rather than kill them, they gave them away. They gave them away to traitors and got whatever they could. And then they ended up over here. Well, the reason they gave them away or traded them off is because they themselves couldn't pay for the damages that they done in a form of restitution. So here it is today, Monday. Well, Friday, you still owe for the damages that you done. A month later, a year later, you still owe for the damages that you done. You leave and go to on a vacation, go to China, go to France, Paris. When you come back, you still owe. They're saying that the sins of the father follow the son. So if they ended up over here on these shores, they still owe. And the descendants of them, the sons, you still owe for the sins of your father, to them anyway. Now, how you they would go to get paid would be doing like a lien thing, the same way France done with monies that was being held in the United States that belonged to Haiti. France say, hey, we put a lien on that because when they became free, we lost when we could not have them as slaves. And I'd be damned.
Right.
It was voted and France received the money for the loss of slaves to Haitians.
So, well, you know what? It's interesting that you said, you're right, because I looked up the legal definition of reparations and it's saying exactly what you're saying. It says, now this is the legal definition of slavery. Reparations, not slavery. Compensation for injury, redress, or wrong inflicted. The losing countries in war often must pay damages to the victors of an economic harm that the losing country inflicted during wartime. And the example that you gave was spot on dictionary definition.
Yeah. And see what, now let's get to today's argument. The arguments today is based on emotions and Webster's definition.
Pure emotion. Pure emotion.
Right. Now, why is it based on emotions? Because you hear certain things about, and they all in the same old stories going back about people working and not getting paid. Well, you don't know if they didn't get paid. You don't know that because there were no records kept.
Well, you know what? Now, I'm glad you brought that up because now this is documented because I was looking up manumissions this morning. Many American slaves were paid a wage. That's how a lot of them were able to manumit themselves and buy their freedom back and buy back, relatives or friends. So some slaves did get a wage.
You're absolutely right. And some slaves had to get paid because they was allowed to run their own little business.
Correct.
When they wasn't working in the fields. Another point. Today's argument is based on emotion about how we was treated, how the slaves was treated, and so on and so on and so on. Couldn't do this, couldn't do that, couldn't do that. All right. But here's the thing. United States government didn't have jack to do with that. That was either
right.
The owner themselves, the local laws, or the state in which all those activities went on in. People make reference to Black Wall Street. Well, the descendants of that action brought claims against the state of Oklahoma, which they should have done if that's where they had the issues with. Now, I hear them say that government airplanes dropped bombs. Well, it was not no government airplanes that dropped bombs.
That was a private plane.
It was private planes using what
a
they
private
called.
Plane that dropped dynamite. Still bad, but
well, they,
that was a private
well,
plane.
Actually, they dropped turpentine bombs. Which
okay.
It wasn't dynamite. I don't know if it was dynamite, but I know it was turpentine bombs, which is a prelude of a flower bomb, flower sack bomb. So that's the arguments. Then you file them going against the U.S. Congress, which you got a right to do. Congress spend money however they want to. Because now you're trying to beg a plea to the moral side of people based on the terrible things that happen. Well, you know, that works two ways because you got people who say, well, we didn't have nothing to do with that. Not only whites, but blacks too. Because now you're talking about getting them to pay and they didn't have nothing to do with it.
Correct.
Both whites and blacks. And they're going to say no. Here's another point. How you going to really start the dissent? When you start talking about paying off people bills, for instance, like the student debt. Well, what about the people that pay for their own children's college education?
That's
what
true.
About the ones that done the things responsible? They plan, they put programs in place that they have and took advantage of programs because there are programs out there that gives you advantages monetarily through tax incentives and so on and so on to save for your child's education, scholarships and so on and so on and so on. So what about the people, and it's not no few, it's a lot of black folks that's doing this. What about those that put in the things necessary so that their child could go to college? And those that's paying out of their pocket through the intergenerational aspects of their families, talking about grandparents. So these people done all the things right, sacrificed, so on and so on. So now you're going to say, well, you should have waited and you could have got it free. Because they talk about paying off those who did not do those things, paying their debt off. Now, what kind of taste in the mouth are you going to leave in people when you do something like that?
That's true. That's true. Yeah. But Pianca, we've run out of time for today. Thank you for that valuable feedback. We'll be back tomorrow with reparations literacy. But people, look up the legal definition of reparations. Tomorrow we're going to go into the Japanese Americans, how they got reparations. Because basically they have a blueprint. But once again, the legal definition of reparations still involves one nation fighting another nation. That's the first, I see that as a big hurdle. So the ones that are claiming ADOS, where's your nation at? Where's your nation at? On that note, everyone have a good rest of the day.
Morning people wake up for peace and quiet. McDonald's breakfast people, we wake up for the sweet rush of getting that warm, delicious breakfast right before it ends.
Crush your morning goals with a steak, egg, and cheese bagel or any breakfast sandwich and snag another one for just a buck with the buy one, get one deal. Only in the McDonald's app. Limited time only at participating McDonald's. Valid once per day. Must opt into rewards.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.